Welcome to A Pastoral Approach, a site of blogs and podcasts intended to help you grow and be strengthened in the one true faith of Jesus Christ as we approach the day of His coming. We trust the Lord will add His blessing to this, the teaching of His most holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning comes to us from Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Today is the first day. Now yesterday, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, God rested. He rested from all of the work that He had done. He had accomplished all that He had set out to do, and so He laid down and He rested in a tomb. But today, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ rests no more, because today is the first day. As it was the first day for those women who had gone to the tomb to put spices on Jesus' body, it is the first day for them, the first day in public since their rabbi was killed, executed, murdered. It was the first day that they would face other people. It was the first day of abject terror, and they had never felt more unsafe, more unprotected, more lost. And they went out. They went out into the streets, out where people who would kill them wanted to do them harm, out to a garden protected by soldiers, and out to touch a dead body. There was no safety. There was no security. There was no comfort for them. There was no alleluia. The world had turned upside down for them on Good Friday. And they knew that as their Lord had done, it was likely that they would lose their lives soon too. When they arrived, their world turned yet again. Now, you know that feeling that you get when the teacher is going to call on you and you don't know the answer? Or you know that feeling that you had when your first girlfriend or boyfriend broke up with you? You know that feeling you get when you're about to be sick and the entire room seems to come up, zoom up on you like it does on a close-up on TV? They saw the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, this is no ordinary stone. It would have taken quite a bit of effort and more than a few people to move this stone. And it definitely could not have been done with two guards there. So when they arrived, they found no guards. The stone had moved. And all of a sudden, all of those awful feelings flooded over these women. And they're taken away into even more fear than they already had, because the body of Jesus wasn't there. Now, if you've seen a dead bodies don't move. Dead bodies can't move. Dead bodies, and certainly Jesus was dead after having been whipped and flogged and beaten and nailed through and pierced through his heart and his lung. Dead bodies don't just get up again. And there was no body. Imagine what they were feeling. The world raced in on them. And the weight of everything that had happened over the last 3 days must have come crashing down in on them. Now, Luke says that they were perplexed. And that's a nice word, but it's probably the word that these women gave to Luke after the fact, after they had seen everything. But really, panic and terror, doubt, horror, uncertainty. Those are much more likely feelings for today. To be honest, that's what sinners feel. It's what we have to feel. On Good Friday, if you were here, and I always would encourage people to come on Good Friday because you really can't have Easter without a Good Friday. So let me fill you in. We meditated on the final words of Jesus. And as we spoke about the passion of the Christ, we realize that we have to meditate upon the passion in such a way that we see how much God hates sin. Now, Jesus was crucified, but he was crucified in the place that you deserve for your sins. And more than that, Jesus took upon himself all of the sins of the entire world in every time and place. But we need to know this. One sin, one little sin, a little lie, a piece of gossip, one word spoken in anger, even one selfish thought would be enough to put you where we would see our Lord. Now, this is strange, because the one we're talking about is God's own Son, is it not? I mean, this is, as we confess, the only begotten Son of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. And God the Father loved his Son. Now, you who think you know what love is, remember that God is love. Whatever you think love is, his love is beyond compare. There is nothing in the world that comes close to it. So imagine what God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit have between them in love. And yet the Son is sent to the cross. And God sees this man, this God-man, as sin itself. There cannot be love there. God does not love sin. Instead, God pours out all of his wrath upon that man. And he damned him to hell on the cross. And if that's what the only begotten Son of God gets, as we meditate on the passion of Christ, we have to expect more for ourselves. More wrath, more anger, more death. Because we're not God. As much as we like to think that we are not God. We're not even a son of God. In fact, we commit sins all the time. And the women today remind us as sinners that we should be expecting the world, our world, to come crashing down in on us at any moment under the wrath of God because of our sin. When we examine ourselves, when we look at our hearts, we should never see pure intention in there or pure motives. We should see nothing of value, but instead a black heart dripping with the tar of sin. Because of that, we should feel panic. We should feel terror, horror, doubt, uncertainty. And we feel that about ourselves. But we are never left there in Christ. Because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And if Christ, the Son of God, is risen from the dead, then we who have been adopted by God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ in our baptisms, we then have every confidence that we too will rise from the dead, because in Him we are forgiven. Two men in dazzling white told this to these women. They were angels, of course, messengers of God. And today, I, a man who brings to you the message of God in, well, not so dazzling white, and every pastor who stands before you, they will tell you the same. Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is not behind the stone. He is not laying on a table. He is not rubbed down with spices. He is not bound up with linens. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We who were dead in trespasses and sins have been raised to newness of life in Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits of the dead. He is alive, risen from the dead, and He now even reigns with all power and authority from God. He is the Son of God, the Prince of the universe, the Lord of all creation, and He rules over all things with justice and grace and mercy and peace. And today we gather together to give Him all blessing and glory and honor. For by His death and His resurrection, He has shown Himself to the world to be the perfect sacrifice, the unblemished Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that whosoever should believe in Him would have eternal life and life to the full. Today is the first day. Remember back to Genesis. God said, "Let there be light." There is the light of light. And thus it is the first day. And then in creation came the expanse of the waters, the dry ground, and then the vegetation, the lights in the sky, the fish and the birds, the animals of the ground, and finally was made man. 6 days. And at the end of 6 days, when all was finished, God called it very good. And on the seventh day, God rested. Not long after that came the fall into sin. And at that moment, when Adam and Eve decided that they would be their own gods, instead of trusting in the one true God, our world was set into some kind of cycle, if you will, of a six-day week. It was incomplete. It was unfinished. It was now ungood until Christ. Christ, the man of God, died upon the sixth day. And upon the seventh day, He rested. But on the first day of the week, the first day of the new creation, He rose from the dead. And He commands His creation to begin its restoring work, to look to Him and to Him alone for the forgiveness of sins. And He does this, and everything listens to Him, because He is the one. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. As the women began to wonder at these things, what did they do? Did they tremble? Did they break down? They went and they told. On Good Friday, their world was turned upside down. Imagine this. A ship. Cruise ship, shall we say. You've seen the videos of this on the internet, right? Ships rocking in the water, and all of the furniture in the ship goes back and forth. Imagine the ship capsizes. What happens to the furniture? Right? On Good Friday, this was their world. On Easter Sunday, the ship is set right. And everything begins to be put back into its place, even amidst all of the mess. And as things were progressing, notice the women didn't stand around rejoicing. Instead, they went and told the apostles. And the apostles came to find it out for themselves. And soon, the apostles and all who were gathered together, they would believe because they would see the Lord, who was raised from the dead after being crucified, who still had the nail and the spear marks in his side. And they would tell everyone who would listen, everyone they would encounter, everyone that they were sent to by God. They would give a message. And that same message that they spoke, the same message the angels spoke, and it is the same message that has continued on through the ages, and it has come to you even today, and the message is this: He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if He is risen, then we have all hope in the world. You too, as you believe in Christ, you shall be raised to the newness of life. And how do I know that? Because you already have been in your baptisms, and soon you shall be. You see, the new creation, the one that we're waiting for, has already begun. It begins in Christ, to the first fruits of the dead. And it continues on in you, you who have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you who believe Christ's words of absolution, you who have examined yourselves and believe that this is Christ's true body and blood. And here you eat and drink. Here you eat and drink the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. By doing this, you are at the beginning of the new creation. And it will soon be fulfilled even in you. Christ will come again from the right hand of God. And He will come to make all things new. To give you the very same eternal life that He has. He is coming to raise up your body from the ground. He is coming to give you this body. Perfected and incorruptible and glorified as He is glorified. He began this work in you by the faith that He gave to you through His word, through His baptism, and He continues to give it as you're strengthened to that life in His supper. He will finish this work in you, this work of new creation. And He will finish it when He comes to judge the living and the dead, the good and the evil, those who believe in Him and those who do not. And He does this because He has the authority. He is the only judge. He is the only safe place for the women and for you. In Him, there is no panic. No terror, no horror, no doubt, no uncertainty. That's had without Him. But in Him, He is grace and mercy and peace. He can do it. He can do it because He is the first fruits from the dead and He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Louis Polzine. I'm glad you've joined us as we've made our way through the scriptures. If you're in the Bemidji, Minnesota area and you're looking for a new church home or just have questions, I encourage you to contact us at Trinity in Bemidji at 218-444-4441. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and always.